Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
Fundraising, you drink early and you swear a lot.
Okay, we're live. I always do that, and everybody loves it. I always turn it on before anyone's ready.
Fantastic.
This is the Art Burrito Podcast, and we are on episode 21. And it is super late on, Wednesday?
Wednesday all day.
Super late being 8:40, because I'm an old man, so it is extra late for me. So I have two guests. Well, there's three people in the studio. I'm not counting the third person as a guest. He's just comic relief.
This is creepy.
And the two of the guests, so this is the first. They didn't wait to open the publican beer. But that's okay. I'm not going to take offense. That's fine. Don't worry about it, guys.
Couldn't resist the delicious beer.
I know. So I'm going to do it. Okay.
Did
you already open yours too?
Of
course. Oh my God.
What part of the conversation?
Okay. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Here we can clink. Clink. Oh, it's quiet.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I already had beer earlier today too. I went out with my brother for lunch and I had two beers then too. So
I'm saying that we open our beers, but it's our first one for the day.
Ah, that's true. You got me there. Okay. So today we have Alex and Isabel from the Peterborough Humane Society. Like I always do, I go back, I get your origin story. So we want to hear about where you're from, what you're doing now, kind of thing. So you can go back as far as you want. And you have to decide who goes first.
I vote Isabel. She's got a great origin story.
But it might sound much better if you go first.
Well, she does have a good origin story. It's true. Yeah.
Now there's too much to say.
Okay, where do we begin? I'm from South Africa. Moved to Canada, 18 months ago. I've always been an animal person. My mom will tell you that I grew up with cats and dogs and always wanted to bring any wild animal I saw home as a child. Finally, when I moved out, I was able to rescue my first pet. So we adopted Chico, our first rescue cat, as soon as we moved out. And a couple of months later, we rescued. I think she just chose us, a cat in the zoo, a feral cat, and took her home. That was interesting.
So being from South Africa, did you bring home any kind of crazy animals? Like, hey, mom, here's a leopard. I'm going to it's going to walk in the house and just.
No, but I wanted to because my dad always told me, like, he had a meerkat when he was little.
Yeah.
I'm Caracal, and he always rescued because he stays there on a farm. So he always rescued.
I always get that wrong, though.
Antelope and things like that.
Yeah, but Adrian, was it leopards or who was the, or panthers? What's the one that hunts you when you go hunting?
Oh, leopards.
Leopard. Okay, I was right. See, I'm learning stuff. That's good. Sorry, go ahead.
That's pretty cool.
No, yeah. I didn't have a leopard.
No, no leopards.
No leopards.
That's disappointing.
And the cats. You thought they were lions. I called my cat my little lion.
Yeah. You guys love your cats so much.
Yeah, and then from there, I started getting involved in animal welfare as a foster and. Yeah, there's no turning back. Like, you know with Heidi.
Oh, I know.
Once you start.
Yeah. And by the way, that was
always animals.
That was in our vows. Like, no joke. That was in our vows. Was I had to say basically, like, whatever she brings home, I have to accept.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was set in stone at that point. Yeah.
And then I worked in marketing and writing my whole life. Well, my whole adult life, actually.
Yeah.
And when we moved to Canada, I thought, I'm done with marketing. I'm done with agency life. Yeah. Get a bit burnt out.
Yeah.
So I applied at the Humane Society and I started working as an animal care attendant. And guess what? I'm back in marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
You made that move back.
I made that move back. And now I'm doing marketing and fundraising. And
yeah.
I'm loving it.
You're loving it? Good. Good.
Mm-hmm. That's your turn, Alex.
I sucked you back.
Sucked me back. That's your turn, too.
Yeah.
Tell us your life story.
I feel like it's not as exciting as South Africa. But I grew up in Guelph.
Yep.
Always had dogs my whole life. It'll be a bit of an animal origin story too. Then after university, I moved to Toronto. Just wanted to live in the big city for a while. I loved it. I met my husband there, Mark. We lived there for almost 10 years. And then we just needed to get out. Like, it's such an expensive city. We just thought we can't live here forever. We'll be constantly broke. So we moved to Hamilton mostly because it's affordable.
Yep.
It was seemed like a exciting city. Got some good jobs, but then we thought, you know, we don't know that many people here. All of Mark's family's in Peterborough. And I saw a really cool job at the Humane Society. So I'd worked in fundraising and nonprofit sector for almost 10 years. So doing hunger relief work in Toronto with Second Harvest, an awesome charity. Then doing some work for a hospital in St. Joe's, which was great, but very different, much more kind of corporate, not really my scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting a little, just wanting a change. So yeah, I saw this cool job working on helping to raise money for a brand new animal care center,
mm-hmm.
working with animals. And I thought, this could be awesome. I can kind of go back to that grassroots, like smaller charity where you can have a really big impact and then also be around animals all the time. So then, yeah, we've been here just over a year, year and a half. About the same amount of time as Isabel, actually. We're now work wives. We work very closely together at the Humane Society.
Yeah, you're like literally right next to each other.
Yeah, we probably sit like 10 inches away from each other.
Yeah.
Is it that much? I don't think it
maybe,
is.
Maybe less. But yeah.
So when the new place is built, then you'll have a little more space maybe.
Yeah, we'll probably have like 18 inches of separation.
You'll be like, hey.
We'll miss each other.
I'll have to write it some letters.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know. Yeah, because, geez, I thought you were here way before that for some reason. But you moved here for the job.
Yeah. For the job and for, like, so Mark
to be back with
the youngest of his family. So his parents are getting older.
Yeah.
Although if they listen to this, they won't like that.
Your mother-in-law will listen.
And there's no editing either. You're in trouble.
Okay. Yeah, we wanted to be close to them and thought, why not?
Sorry, Ruth. She didn't mean that.
Young at heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying how thick Savvy your mother-in-law is, and now look what she did.
My mother, she's like one of our she's top Facebook fans. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And Instagram.
Did she get the little diamond? Have you seen that now?
Yeah.
She did?
I think she does have that.
Nice. Yeah.
She's always the first one to love our Instagram stories as well.
Yeah. I don't know if they have that for Instagram. Can you have a top?
No, not yet. But it's probably coming. Yeah.
Okay. Instagram.
So, Isabel, you are marketing coordinator?
Marketing and
right. Yeah. And Alex, you're like, what's your exact title again?
Campaign manager.
Yeah. Okay.
So really just focused on getting money for our new center.
Yeah. What's your, right out of the gates? It's going to be a hard hitting question. I told you there wasn't going to be any, but I lied. I'm just kidding.
You lied.
what do you find? What are some challenges you're finding? Cause like, there's a lot of keyboard kind of warriors out there for the Humane Society, right? So, I mean, that's I guess not really a challenge in itself that you have to deal with on a day to day. But what's your kind of like? What are you finding challenging about working for, like, for the Humane Society?
I'd say one thing that I never thought of that's kind of, I don't know. Okay, so everyone loves animals, right? Especially if you have pets, people love animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the kind of more sad things that happen, like the reason why animals come to Humane Society some of the time, you know, we don't talk about it as much. So people, I don't think, understand everything that goes on at the Humane Society, and they may not think, well, you know, they're so cute, but why do they need money? Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll devote my money to more important causes.
Yeah.
You know, cute puppies, but not everyone. Like, of course we have amazing people that really do see the work that goes on. And I think we're doing more and more to just be as transparent as possible and say, like, this is what we do. And it's not always just cute puppies running around and we need your support.
Cause right? It's very easy for people to, I mean, with anything, like, to sit back and point fingers and be like, why aren't you guys doing this? Or what's happening here? So because I kind of know what goes on in there, because for those of you who don't know, my wife, it works front desk there, but there's
the other work wife.
That's right. Yeah. Like you guys put literally everything into the place. So when it's easy to get caught up in conversation online about stuff that people really don't have any idea what's going on. Can you walk people through, like, when an animal comes in, kind of what, just to give some clarity? Because like you said, some people have no idea what happens from the time the animal comes through until it's, you know, either gets adopted or whatever. Can you shed some light on sort of what the process is on when an animal comes in? Or
so Alex is poking me because I've done this. So whenever an animal comes in, let's say it's a dog that comes in.
Yeah.
Name him Jason.
I like
Jason
that.
Jason the dog comes in. First thing we do, we always check for a microchip.
Yeah.
Make sure Jason's mom and dad aren't out there looking for him. So if he does have a microchip, it's super easy to get a hold of your family and phone them. And usually the family then comes back to us pretty quickly.
There you
or
go.
A tag. But,
yeah, or if they're licensed and they wear a tag, that would also usually help. Mm. It sometimes happens that they microchip, but the people's contact details aren't up to date. That we try and find them. We try and find alternative details. I know Heidi, who is our customer experience specialist, always does a lot of work to try and find the people. But if the details aren't up to date, it's sometimes almost impossible.
Yeah.
From there, we do a full intake exam, which is a medical exam. We check for any health or physical concerns that there might be. We vaccinate them. We give them a flea treatment. We give them dewormer. We check the eyes, the ears. We check the age. And from there, they're then in our system. If it's a stray animal, there are certain stray hold periods depending on where they're from. And from there, if they're not claimed by the family, they become our legal animals. And we can then spay and neuter them and put them up for adoption. But this all takes a couple of weeks. We use our local vets, and great as they are, they're also businesses. So sometimes we wait a couple of days or a couple of weeks for surgery spots for all the animals. So they are in our care on average for a couple of weeks at least. If they need medical care, we give them all the medical care they need. If they need surgery, like dental surgery, or they have some lumps that need to be
eye removal.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah.
So things like that we take care of, and all of those things add up and cost money at the end of the day. So
do they have like glass eyes for cats or?
No. I don't know.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
That'd be really cool, though. Like a monocle and a glass eye.
I think that'd be awesome.
That cat would get famous on Instagram for sure.
Yeah. I could just see it having a little couch and a newspaper in its little area. Just like, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
There are little couches and little beds. Actually, Heidi showed us those. They're like Japanese couches.
Oh, she wants. No. Don't even get me started. No.
There was amazing stuff out there.
We saw one at Winners and we almost walked away with it.
Yes.
Yeah, but it didn't happen.
I put
the kibosh on that.
You know, if you see something in Winners, you need to buy it immediately.
It's a problem.
You'll go back an hour later.
Oh, no, it's a problem.
The whole shop changed.
Yes.
There's nothing there.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like a little side plug for Winners.
Yeah.
Love you, Winners.
Okay, so that's good. Thanks for that, Isabel. Good job.
Maybe they'll sponsor you.
Now... So there's also the delicate topic of like kill shelters, no kill shelters, right? So ours, PHS is a no kill shelter, right? So define that, because obviously that has to happen at sometimes, right? There's no avoiding that. But again, the stuff you see online, it can get pretty, you know, people can get pretty nasty about that kind of thing. So can you shed some light on that? Like what the differences are there? If not, it's okay. Because I mean, it's almost kind of, you can.
No, we can. Yeah, we can. Because there's a lot of misconceptions out there, right? So I love talking about this because, so we're open admission, which means we take any type of animal in, right? Not wildlife.
Domestic. Yeah.
But you know, stray cats, stray dogs, small animals. And sometimes occasionally you might have an animal where essentially the person just can't afford euthanasia at their vet, even though we're not by any means euthanasia clinic, they might bring an animal in and it's really near the end of their life and suffering. That might be a situation. But a lot of people think, oh, it's a set time or it's a set age. That's 100% not true. We've had some animals there for almost a year, looking hard for, you know, the best fit, a Cash, who I love, but he was such a lovely dog with people, but just didn't get along with other dogs.
Yeah.
So he had to find that nice home where there's no other pets. So it took a bit longer, and then eventually we found a guy who was retired. Anyways, like perfect home for him, but he was there for quite a while. And before he was with us, he was at a shelter, in Oshawa. So he had spent a lot of his life in shelters. And same thing, like if we really were struggling, this doesn't actually happen, but like if we were struggling to find a family, we could transfer to one of our friends, like another shelter in the community, and maybe their community would have a better match. I do a lot of tours at the Humane Society right now. And a lot of people think, you know, oh, you might do it because it's an older animal or whatever. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Actually right now, a dog I adopted recently, she's a very old husky who came in, you know, in rough shape, and the staff essentially doubled her weight, got her really healthy. And now I just, right before I came here, she was shoving her face in snowbanks and playing and loving life. And
it's the best, right? When you see that. Yeah.
And it's quite hurtful, I think, when we hear these things, when people say, oh, but don't you kill animals there? No, we don't. And it's all sometimes even said, like, it makes you seem a bit heartless. And that's the opposite of what we do. Like,
Dog
May, we nursed her back to health. And the staff put in so much effort to nurse her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People brought food and they cooked home-cooked meals to get this dog to eat.
Yeah.
And
Susan would make her, like, homemade shepherd's pie and bring it in, right? So, you get so attached and so invested.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, I was not an animal fan for my whole life.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So like, well, okay. So I had animals. I had a dog when I was a kid that, you know, we liked, and it was, a pet, but, and then as I got older, we had like some dogs that came and went kind of thing. Like I never viewed an animal as like a real family member.
Okay.
And then I met Heidi, and of course, you know, her love for animals, and I, you know, still, I was in it. I got it, but I didn't really have that feeling. And then truly, like the Humane Society, when you actually get to see, you know, these creatures who have no voice, and you guys are kind of helping give them that voice and kind of helping them find new homes, and you're looking after them while they're there. It's a kind of a big deal. Like it's a life changer. So if people who haven't actually walked through there to see what's going on, it's infuriating. Like you see people saying things online about the Humane Society or any Humane Society, because the Toronto Humane Society, same thing, because Heidi used to work there. And, people just don't have any concept of what goes into looking after animals there. And then the homes they get after, and then seeing the pictures, the people who have adopted them and telling their story about that. And then you realize that the personalities that the animals have, right? And when you give them a chance. So speaking from a guy who's like, you know, whatever, you know, they're just animals, to really becoming like an advocate for the for them. And it's, yeah, it's a big deal. So anybody out there who thinks they know what they're talking about should really step inside the Humane Society before they really right?
And we welcome to it.
Yeah.
Just love doing those lines.
For sure. Yeah. So yeah, it's a big deal. And it's like a thankless job, right? It's like teachers and things like that. There's no real credit given. You guys, people see
you. But you got to see the transformation.
Yeah. Just like I said, it's actually not like
with the animals.
That. Yeah. If you get in other dog, animal like May, where they're in really rough shape and you see them get better and eventually go to a good home, that's not thankless. That's amazing experience.
It's rewarding.
The really shy ones, the ones who come in and they hide in a corner.
Yeah.
You can barely touch them. Go to the point where they're adopted and they're actually affectionate and they purr for the first time. That's really rewarding to
work with. So true. So that's enough. So you don't really, so that would almost be the thanks that you would want, right?
Yeah. So I also, obviously I work there, so I'm there all the time, but I walk dogs every Wednesday night. So just before coming here, I was walking, we have a volunteer program. People come in and walk dogs in the morning and at night. And one of them, her name is Mila. I love her. And she came in. She was so nervous and so timid. And I don't know her whole story, but I think it wasn't a great life, I think, before she got to the Humane Society. But now she's totally different. She smiles at you. She loves going out for a walk. She loves everyone that she meets. And I don't know. It's just cool to see that in a few weeks, right?
Seeing that progression even. Yeah.
Even in a shelter environment, which is still stressful. But
they have that kindness from you guys, the care, like it's just, it can transform an animal, right? Yeah. So when the new place is built, what will be housed in there? So, cause I think I saw some of the plans, but like, there's going to be some cool stuff going on in there, right? Like, can you explain what that would be?
So yeah, I like to explain it as like, it's one large building, it's 24,000 square feet, but it's really three centers in one. Mm-hmm. So the main part that's replacing the current shelter is an adoption education center.
Yeah.
So just, you know, with much better spaces for the animals, really focused on their health and well-being.
Sorry, sorry to interrupt. For some context, how many square feet is the current building?
The current one is about 6,000 square feet.
Yeah.
It'll be about four times the size.
Yeah, right.
And then right now we have so many, you know, kids and people that want to come in and do things with our animals and learn about animal welfare, but there's not a lot of space to invite the community in. So we'll actually have space to do educational programming and to do so much more with the community, especially children and youth that are interested.
Yeah.
So that's adoption and education, but then there'll also will be a spay neuter clinic. That will be open to the public, and it'll be, we call it break even. So it's very affordable, really just covers the hard cost to do the, the spay neuter. And then of course it'll also take care of all the spay neuter surgeries for animals in our care, which will reduce the time that they're in the shelter. Cause we'll do about 25 surgeries a day, which is so exciting. I can't wait. And then the other third portion is the Provincial Dog Rehabilitation Center, which is actually will be run by the Ontario SPCA and funded by them. So they're a really great partner, and it's something brand new for them. They do have some ad hoc things, but it's really the first program of its kind in Canada devoted to behavioral therapy for dogs who maybe have gone through abuse or neglect, or even just dogs where they may come from a northern community and live their whole life outside in a pack and haven't really lived in a home. So they'll have a virtual living room to get them acquainted to, you know, carpet on their feet, couches, lamps.
Wow.
There'll also be a pool with an aqua therapy treadmill, which will help with like behavioral issues, anxiety in dogs, but also some physical therapy too. So it'll be amazing.
That is awesome. So I know you guys can't speak to this, but I'm going to say it. Okay, so we all like canoes. Who doesn't like a canoe?
But I love canoes.
Okay, but there's way too much money being funneled to the Canoe Museum. So it's insanity. So you guys don't have to say anything right now. But this is my personal view. They have all the money that they need, I think. Let's start throwing some money at the Humane Society, because we're talking about like actual lives and animals that need like space. And I think that it's time. Like, because I keep seeing articles about people just tossing money at the Canoe Museum, and I'm like, what is going on? So I get it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, I think it's time that some money be funneled towards the Humane Society too, right?
Yeah, we're always happy to take people's money.
Yeah.
Get the building terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
No, because it'll get the building built faster.
Yeah. And but you guys are...
will have an impact on the community, sorry.
Yeah.
No, it will.
Like, jobs will be created. This mm-hmm. Bay Neuter Clinic will... There's such a big need. We get phone calls every day of people who want yeah. their animals spayed or neutered, and we cannot offer that service at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we did a little pop-up spay neuter clinic in August. It was mm-hmm. only 3 days, so we helped 90 animals, which is huge. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of people we couldn't, who were calling and trying to get in. But we'd heard from other clinics that are similar that people would travel about up to 300 kilometers, like quite a distance, to get mm-hmm. this service. And we saw that even in that pop-up. We saw people from like Lindsay, Bowmanville, Oshawa, Mississauga, Napanee, of course, Peterborough wow. as well. And they were just so grateful to have it. Yeah, so I can't wait till that. And so it will bring people to Peterborough that aren't yeah. normally in Peterborough. And also they would drop their animals off at 8 a.m. and then pick them up around maybe 4 p.m., 5 p.m. So spend the day in the city, you know, maybe go check out restaurants, businesses.
Yeah.
Jobs for sure. Over 20 full-time jobs. Sorry, now I'm just rambling off.
No.
There's a lot of economic benefits too that I think people
that's
sometimes
good.
Forget, right?
Yeah. And people need to hear that. Like yeah. what can actually happen from building a new center, right?
And rewarding jobs too, right? It's not yeah. just like, I know it's great to bring jobs to the community.
Yeah.
But if you love animals and you want to devote your life to it, it's really a career, right? So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's Heidi's dream job to be working at a Humane Society. Like that's all she's ever wanted to do is work with animals. So it's perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get it all desensitized? Like, cause you see animals come and go and come and go. How do you deal with like treating it, like a business? And then, but you also have to have a heart too. Right. So does it ever get to you where it's like you see certain things, you're like, ugh, you know, kind of breaks your heart? Or, you know, how do you handle that? Because it's not just, you're not just going to work. Like you are, but it's also like, you know, it's like when you work at a hospital and stuff, I guess you have to, you know, there's stuff that's going to get to you, right?
There's always stuff that gets to you. Like mm-hmm. an animal that comes in that's almost starved or... It's just
yeah.
at the suffering, and if you're at that point where you have to euthanize, it's still extremely sad. And we try and give them that dignity and love, and we tell each every one of them that they loved and that we're special. And
yeah.
we often cry. There's a lot of them
yeah.
where you feel so invested, and you've invested so much of yourself in it. So, yeah, we all have those
yeah.
emotional stories, and we share with each other, focus a lot on mental health.
Yeah. Because it is yeah. hard, right? So we're really trying to, and there is compassion fatigue definitely in this industry. So we try yeah. and really just build one another up, support one another. And
yeah, you have a pretty tight-knit group over there. So
mm-hmm. we're like a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say a lot of dark humor and
oh, yeah.
sincere tears.
Yeah.
But a close-knit group.
Awesome. We're going to take a break.
Profit section.
There you go. I'm going to remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So vote fast. You can vote until January 31st.
Well, if
and
it's you many nominate times us.
We've okay. already been nominated, so people vote.
No, you vote in February, I think. Anyways, but go to the website.
Go and click
on Peterborough Humane Society.
Okay, we're live. We've been live for 20 seconds.
So okay.
So people missed
there you
things.
No, that's good. You just kind of explained it, but maybe explain it again. So, okay. So The Humane Society was just nominated for Best Nonprofit. And you can vote. Until when?
Until January 31st mm-hmm. on Peterborough this week.
It's not much time, people. Get in there. Yeah. So it's, what is it? Peterborough this week?
Peterborough's this week. Reader's Choice Awards.
Reader's Choice Awards. Okay.
And we'll have it on our Facebook too, right? So Facebook, if you just go to the Humane Society Facebook.
Awesome.
It's all there for you. Yeah.
Coolio. What else do I have on my list? See my list?
It's huge.
That's huge.
It's very official.
You're
I wrote
trying
my
to be kidding me, right? Meow. I love
this
it.
That's something.
This is how official
your way. Your wife's way.
This is on her fridge. This is on her fridge. Because no one can see it. I have a list that says you've got to be kidding me right now. Oh boy. So I wrote my questions at home on this piece of paper. Yay. Okay. okay. So how can people donate to the Humane Society? So obviously you can come right in and just mm-hmm. say, give a bag of cash and say, here, build the new center.
what's that name? That made me had a visual of, remember those, was it the duck brothers, and they always had like bags of cash?
Yeah.
The gold coins?
Yeah.
What's that was
the name of that?
DuckTales. But it was also Mr. McDuck.
Mr. McDuck.
Who I think. Had the money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He always had the bags of money in the top hat. Yeah. Scrooge McDuck.
And he had that dungeon with all the.
See,
coins.
Adrian?
Yes, McDuck. I love that show. So, yes, you can walk in.
I needed Adrian here today. That's why.
Yeah.
Hey, are you writing up? What are you doing?
He's writing on Martha Stewart.
Putting graffiti on your.
Yeah, just so everyone knows. Jason uses Martha Stewart spray paint.
Listen,
don't leak his secrets.
Exclusively. Listen, I'm experimenting with spray paint, and it was the coolest colors I could find. Martha knows her stuff, man. Look, you have hot.
Martha knows everything about everything. Yeah.
There's hot pink.
I trust her.
Yellow and blue.
Cupcake colors.
I decided to spray paint in here, and it was, I almost passed out. I'm not even lying. And then out there, they're like, listen, that's a little bit strong. So now I have to go outside and do it. But yeah. Good job.
Oh, yeah. But also, you can give online too. That's really easy to do.
Yeah.
Just go to our website, easy peasy. It's through Canada Helps, safe and secure. People always ask me too. I find this a weird question, but it's probably good to clarify. Like when they're giving to the campaign for the new building, they say, well, do we write it out to, and it's still to the Humane Society. They just would write a note saying, but I think they think it's like a separate thing. And it's like, no, it's the Humane Society and it's our new building.
Yeah.
So it's all one charity.
Yeah.
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 So there's been talk about when, I think an article just came out that Sean he kind of contributed to that about breaking ground and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, because I know this is not easy, like this getting this thing off the ground. I mean, I have to tell you that. But so when realistically do you think, like, okay, they're going to start building?
So right now we are thinking that we would start building in the fall of 2020, which is this year. So very exciting coming up.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to that point we need to be at to have a good steady cash flow while we're building. Because it'll be pretty quick. Once we, break ground, it'll be max 18 months.
Yeah.
According to our amazing architects in town, Lead Architects.
Yeah. They have a sweet building, by the way. Have you been inside?
They're amazing. I love them.
Yeah.
Plug for Lead Architects if you're looking for an architect.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Check them out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right now we have 6.6 million of our $10 million goal. We've got a lot of irons in the fire though, so lots to go on between now and the fall. So, yeah.
Cool. So a year and a half it'll take to build it roughly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we'll move everything over and the old building will eventually be sold.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
That's awesome.
Probably be repurposed.
And again, people who haven't been in the existing Humane Society now, yeah, you guys are cramped in there, man. Like you need, it's not even a matter of like, kind of like, we could use one. Like you guys need one.
Yeah.
And
1956 is when it was built.
Yeah.
And just think like the attitudes towards animals, it was so different then. It was very much like a pound, you know, temporary holding place for animals, where now it's like we're rehoming them, we're caring for them. They spend, they can be there for months, right? It's their temporary home away from home.
Yeah.
So it's very different than, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the best way is to just walk into the dog kennels when there's a lot of dogs and hear them barking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that stress that they must feel.
See, that's where, that's what gets me. I got to tell you. So when I go in there, because Heidi will say, come on in, check it. Like, we have these cute cats that are in. So I can handle seeing all the cats for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I know, like, they're going to get adopted for some reason. I could be totally wrong. But then you go into the dog room and it's like, they just seem so like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's just like, they're just dying. They're just dying for companionship. Like, you go in there just like going nuts.
They're like typical dogs though.
Yeah.
My dogs do that whenever I leave. If I leave the house for 5 minutes and walk back in, they act like I've been gone for five years.
But then Adrian yells at them. So then they shut up.
Shut up, Coco. No, we've got a running joke whenever we step out quickly to see how excited Coco is when we're back. It's like, is it 5 years today? 10 years? Oh, wow. Okay. It's 15 years. But I think the shelter dogs are the same. They just love people and they mostly love attention and they just want to be out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it is also the design, right? So right now, if one dog's barking, there's no real sound barrier. So then they all start barking. And with the acoustics, it's amplified.
I think
it'll be totally different in the new center. It's kind of a pod thing. So it'll be four dog kennels in a pod. And they have acoustic barriers. And also there'll be two separate areas as opposed to one giant area for dogs. Anyway, so all of this is really to make it less stressful for the dogs, so they're happier and healthier when they're there. But it's cool. So like Amanda and Michael at Let Architects, they do a lot of research on the actual like psychology of the animals.
No way.
How they can design like for humans, but also very much for the cats and dogs that are there.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's so neat that they can do that. Yeah, it'll be.
So they actually go into that kind of detail.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't really have anything else written down on my cat sheet here. So what else do you want to talk about? What else? Anything coming up for the Humane Society?
What do we have coming up? Cupcake Day
coming up.
Yeah.
Cupcakes. I'm there.
Do something sweet for the animals. You can bake a difference. You can throw all those buns out there.
When is that?
It's February 24th is officially National Cupcake Day.
Yeah.
It's an initiative by the Ontario SPCA and Humane Societies. But it's a national event I think I read today there's like 35 participating organizations in this. And it's a fun event for anyone to get involved with. You can host a bake sale or actually you don't even need to bake anything. You can do like a potluck at work or just be creative
anything fun
as a little fundraiser to create awareness for us and raise funds. There's also, you don't even have to bake anything. You can just get your friends to donate online. Mm-hmm. There's a link on our website to all the information on Cupcake Day.
Yeah.
And you can do that between now and February 24th.
Do you know that just made me think of? Actually made me a little hungry. Have you ever seen the pet treats that look like human like treats?
Yes.
Yeah. Like so apparently you can actually eat them. I asked the lady at Pet Value.
We recently had dog treats and that's also organic.
Yeah, they look so good. So she's like, yeah, you can eat them.
They're all natural. It's
they're all natural.
Like peanut butter and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to eat liver with icing sugar? Icing sugar because technically they won't be.
I think they just look so good that they must taste good. I don't know.
But
yeah, I think it started as like a bake sale type thing.
Yeah.
You could just drink publican beer, invite your friends over, raise money, whatever.
Yeah.
That's right.
A good one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a bad baker, so I would probably do something like that.
We'll also have some cupcakes at the shelter on February 24th. So if people want to come in, see what we do, see the animals, buy a cupcake.
Yeah.
Be a fun day.
I'll bake for that. I won't have Heidi bake for that. Did you see the cookies she made the other day, or she tried to make?
No.
I posted it actually.
I missed it.
You know,
were
those,
they good?
You know those pre, you know, you can get the, in the, so she got shortbread in the tube, I think. Mm-hmm. And she cut it up and it ended up being one giant cookie.
That sounds like my baking skills.
So then she got mad at me for posting it, but.
But did it taste good?
Callie loved it. So who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
She just started painting on it with icing and stuff. So yeah.
That's all that matters.
One giant cookie. Not a bad idea, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so even if you bake one giant cookie and invite everyone
for
a bite,
yes,
all good.
What else? Anything else coming up?
Michelle's live.
Oh yes, girls' night.
February 22nd.
Yeah.
February 22nd.
We're the chosen charity for her show the upcoming show in February.
Yeah.
So get your tickets.
Oh, Michelle Ferry.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good.
And her main guest is it Brittle Star? Am I saying that correctly? Yeah. So he'll be the main feature of the show. Yeah. And
cool.
Have you seen his videos?
No.
As a non-Canadian, I love his stuff because he makes fun of your, like, the typical Canadian stereotypes.
Like, oh, really?
You kind of see a lot of it. Or he makes fun of things like winter, which we all do.
And a lot of dad jokes, right?
Dad jokes.
It's like, I like dad jokes. So
okay, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of winter, you guys have like acclimated really well to Canadian winter.
Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. I must say, I felt a bit cold coming out tonight, and it's -3, so I don't know.
No, we just, because we've had it so good, like, I think we're all feeling that. Everything feels super cold now. Okay, Adrian, do you have anything to say? Adrian's over here drawing on my spray paint can.
Oh, yeah.
Look, that's pretty good. Nice. Okay, I think that's it. So thanks, Publican, again for the beer.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Publican.
Delicious.
Thank you, Alex and Isabel, for dropping by. Thank you, Adrian,
for
sitting next to me drinking my beer and drawing on my stuff. That's cool.
Thanks, Adrian, for being our Uber driver. Yeah.
Yeah. And have fun in South Africa. You guys are leaving soon, right?
Saturday.
Oh, what is it you're eating there again? Giant goat or something?
A
giant lamb. Yeah.
And South African beef jerky.
Oh, man.
Biltong.
You can bring some of that back, right?
I can bring some of that back.
Why?
It's illegal.
There's laws.
There's laws.
About I've heard a lot about that, though. I want to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get you some.
Cool.
We'll make you get some.
Yeah, you can get some. Okay.
Jason, you've had enough of that.
Thanks, everybody. And make sure you donate to the Humane Society in one way or the other. Every dollar counts. Goodbye.